1 through 3 and verse 14. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that has been made. The Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. And now may our hearts be prepared to receive this week's message from Pastor Don Thalman. Who is Jesus and why does it matter?
Thank you, Debbie, and good morning again, everybody. All right, well, it seems like a silly question, but we're going to explore it today anyway. Who is Jesus is a sermon series, and why does it matter is part one. We'll talk more about that in a little bit. Those that have been here a while, why is it that we spent all that time in the beginning of the year going through the book of Matthew? You guys remember that? 17 messages over 15 weeks. As we went through the book of Matthew, it brought us right up to the crucifixion and resurrection of Christ on Easter Sunday. We covered a lot of topics, and we went pretty much in depth on quite a few of them. Jesus the healer, Jesus the teacher. We had Jesus lessons from time in the wilderness. We had lessons on prayer, generosity, fellowship, focus, praise, fear, belief, worry. Learnings from Jesus' parables, many of those we went into, and two sermons to dive into the Sermon on the Mount and all the many learnings that we could pull from that. It was a lot of time. It was a lot of study. It was a lot of discussion and presentation there with all those different things, and I guarantee you we barely scratched the surface of what could be done with that. But it was a lot. So why spend all that time? I mean, is it that we have nothing better to do? I mean, the answer to that is correct. We have nothing better to do than learn about Jesus. That is kind of the biggie, right? But the travels, the teachings, the sermons, the parables, the healings, the interactions, all the different trainings, the lessons he did that He's got written out for us there for us to learn and learn from and emulate the struggles, the pain, the forgiveness, the love, the gentleness, the frustrations, the mercy and tears. It's all wrapped up in those lessons and learnings of the life of Jesus that we went through. But why did we do that? Other than as followers of Christ, we're supposed to, right? What's the purpose of learning more about Jesus? When we do things, we're not supposed to do them just because we do them. There's supposed to be a reason why we do things. There's supposed to be a purpose to them, some sort of end goal that we're working on. Whether it's big steps, small steps, or micro steps, we're supposed to be working on some kind of goal, moving closer and closer to that goal. There's a reason and a purpose for what we do. Well, I want to hold that thought for a second. I want to get some examples and some feedback out there. I'd like each one of us to take a moment and think about the person in your life that you believe you know the best. It could be your spouse, a friend, a parent, a talk show host. Who do you know better than anybody else? And I want you to grab onto that person in your mind right now. And now let's say that you have some news you need to give them. Could be bad news, could be good news, doesn't matter. But you have some news you need to give them. And because you know them, you think you know how they're going to react to the news? Probably, right? You probably will be able to guess pretty well. And so if it's going to be a rough reaction, we start getting things prepared in advance, right? oh, geez, they're going to calm them down with cookies and milk, so I'm going to have the fresh baked cookies already in the house, right? Because you know how they're going to react, because you know them. What if I were to ask you, okay, what would that person do if I were to give them these three options and they had to pick one? Do you think you would probably be able to guess which one of those three options they were going to go for with really good accuracy? If you know them really, really well? Well, sure you would, right? Because you know them well. It doesn't really matter what the choices were. If you really know them well, you should be able to get it right most of the time. Can we all agree on that? Okay. When I was writing this, my mind went back to the newlyweds game. I can tell the older people out here in the congregation, because they're the only ones that laughed. Everybody else like, what are they talking about? But anyway, and getting back to Jesus. So if our goal is to be more and more like Jesus, to act more, love more, think more like Jesus, make some of the same choices more often that Jesus would make, do you think it might be helpful to know more and more about him? Because the ageless question of what would Jesus do is always important. And one of the big challenges in our lives, and we talked about this a few weeks ago, shortly after God made us in our image, we as in man started working on remaking him in our image. You see, we really don't want to be on God's side. We want God to be on our side, don't we? Doesn't matter what we're discussing. Doesn't matter what we're doing. We want God to be on our side. But that's why we need to learn more about Jesus, so that we can be on his side, so that we can choose the path that he would choose, so we can make the choice that he would make. If you don't know very much about somebody, the likelihood of you knowing what you should do in a position, in a specific situation when you're trying to emulate that person, you're just guessing. Now, some might say, Don, that sounds like a lot of work. And it is, right? That's a whole lot of work, and it's never done. Kind of like making your bed or dishes, huh? It's every single day. And if you look at the Bible, Romans 10:9, it says this, if you declare with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. Not might be, not could be. It says you will be saved. So that doesn't sound too bad, does it? That doesn't sound like much work. So if that's true, and I, in fact, have declared Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and that I believe in my heart that he was crucified, dead, and buried, and after 3 days he rose from the dead, and he ascended into heaven, if I believe that in my heart, folks, I'm done. Right? I'm set. No more of this reading scriptures or spending time different ministries or just think of all the extra meals I can have at Texas Roadhouse now. I don't have to give money to the poor or to the church or help out with hurricane relief, right? I'm set. I'm good. I've got my golden ticket, right? I mean, that's what it says, doesn't it? It says, I'll read it again. This is verse 9. If you declare with your mouth that Jesus is Lord, and you believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, then you're saved. There's no more work once you get to that point. It's coast time. But people have done horrible things with the Bible over the years and centuries and thousands of and millennia by taking one or two scriptures out of the Bible and using that instead of understanding all how everything works together in the Bible. And to that point, I'd like to point out, like James chapter 2, verses 18 through 24, and I'll include 26, it says this, but someone will say, you have faith, I have deeds. Show me your faith without deeds, And I will show you my faith by my deeds. He's saying, you talk the talk, I walk the walk. I had a manager quite a few years ago, he used to say, big hat, no cows. Many of you might know the expression, all show and no go. That's what they're talking about. That scripture goes on, you believe that there is one God? Well, good. Even the demons believe that. Ouch. Verse 20, you foolish person, do you want evidence that faith without deeds is useless? Was not our father Abraham considered righteous for what he did when he offered his son Isaac on the altar? You see that his faith and his actions were working together, and his faith was made complete by what he did. And the scriptures were fulfilled that said, Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness, and he was called God's friend. You see, a person is considered righteous by what they do, and not by faith alone. And it wraps up with verse 26, as the body without the spirit is dead, so faith without deeds is dead. So deeds, what you do, your choices you make, the priorities you have, the way you treat others, the way you respond to tough situations, the words you choose to use when you walk out those doors today, the way we show mercy, to whom we show mercy to. All of that is wrapped up in the idea of having faith, although their deeds, you see, faith and action are interdependent. There's faith without deeds is empty, it's dead. Deeds without faith, you might be doing some good work, but it's not going to get you to heaven. Because if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, and if you declare with your mouth, Jesus is Lord, and if you believe in your heart, that God raised him from the dead, it's not superficial, it's really part of who you are, then your actions, your choices, your deeds, your interactions, even your thoughts should spring out of you and continue to be more like those of Jesus Christ. As long as you know him and you continue to get to know him better. Does that make sense? Amen. So now we'll move on to what would Jesus do? Of course, we've heard about him, we've read about him, we've sung about him, every Sunday at least, but do we really know him? And it's like that example before when we realize that the better we know someone, the more likely we are to know what they would do in situations. That same thing is true of Jesus Christ. So the more we know about Jesus, the more we know how he handled situations, how he loved, how he moved forward, how he learned, how he taught, how he treated people. The more we learn about that, the more likely we are to know what Jesus would do in any given situation. And we can more and more often emulate that, which is our goal, right? To be more and more like Jesus, at least a little bit every day. So today we're starting, as I said, week 4 in this sermon series. And instead of getting really down into the fine details like we did for those 3+ months, almost 4 months at the beginning of the year, we're going to stick to 4 larger topics. Next week, please come out. The youth are going to be presenting Jesus the King. And it's going to be a great message from the youth. And the following week, Reverend Matt Kern is coming back. And he's going to be talking about Jesus, the Son of God. And then November 6th, I'll be back up here again, and I'll be presenting Jesus, our Savior. And as you notice, we're consistently building and focusing ourselves as we prepare for Advent season. And it's coming up quite fast here. I can't believe it. But today, we're asking just a couple questions, a couple broad questions like the one we just talked about. Why studying the habits, decisions, interactions, behaviors of Jesus Christ? Why is that important to us? And I hope that you all get a some kind of understanding that the more we learn about Jesus, the more we learn about what he did, how he did it, when he did it, the easier it will be for us to make the right choices going forward. And of course, it's still a choice, right? You might know what Jesus would do and choose something else anyway, but that's a choice not made out of ignorance. So the second question that I wanted to ask today and just spend a couple minutes up on is, so who is Jesus? Big picture now. We're going to kick this sermon series off with this one. Who is Jesus that a person would give up their lives helping others in his name? Who is Jesus that a person, or that some of the most gifted artists and musicians in human history would dedicate their work to his glory? Who is it that some of the most incredible architecture throughout the world and all of mankind is dedicated to him? Who is Jesus that today, on this day, not just today as in this time period, but today, there are hundreds of millions of people gathered around the world, some in open community like us and some in secret, risking their very lives so that they can worship him? Who is Jesus? Well, there's a book written by a Reverend James Francis. And it's called One Solitary Life. And I've just got to be honest, I haven't read through the book. I actually started coming across a lot of the quotes from this book. So I basically went through and checked some cliff notes on the book and pulled this stuff off. And I don't read a whole lot of books that aren't needed for me to read, but this one's on my list now. But there was a couple of quotes that I found incredibly thought-provoking, and so I wanted to put them in here. In one part of the book, he wrote, "Here is a man who was born in an obscure village, the child of a peasant woman. He grew up in another village. He worked in a carpenter's shop until he was about 30. Then for 3 years, he was an itinerant preacher. He never owned a home, never wrote a book, never held office. He never had a family, never went to college, never traveled more than 200 miles from the place he was born. Never did any of the things that usually accompany greatness. He had no credentials, just himself. While he was still a young man, the tide of popular opinion turned against him. His friends ran away. One of them denied him. He was turned over to his enemies, went through a mockery of a trial, was nailed to a cross between two thieves. While he was dying, his executioners gambled for the only piece of property he had in the entire world, his coat. When he was dead, he was laid in a borrowed grave through the pity of a friend." If you didn't know that we were talking about Jesus this morning, you might think, what a pathetic little life. I mean, let's be honest, right? What a pathetic little life. And yet, further in the book, there's this quote, and this is the one that hit me. "All of the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that have ever been built, all the parliaments and governments that have ever sat, and all of the kings that have ever reigned, all combined together, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as much as that one solitary soul." Let's read that again. "All of the armies that have ever marched, all the navies that were ever built, all the parliaments and governments that have ever sat, all the kings that have ever reigned, put together and combined, have not affected the life of man upon this earth as powerfully as that one solitary soul, Jesus Christ." Who is Jesus Christ? Let's look at today's scripture again. John 1, 1 through 3 and 14. "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. Through him all things were made. Without him nothing was made that's been made. And then verse 14, the word became flesh and has made his dwelling among us. We've seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son, who came from Father, full of grace and truth. In this passage, John talks of Jesus being the Word. Right there in the first chapter of Genesis, first verse of Genesis, the Word was with God and was himself God. He created the universe and became flesh and lived among us. So John's pretty clear about his statement here, but he goes on and is even more bold to wrap up the primary part of his book. I'll go to chapter 20, verse 31. It's the last verse in that chapter. But these are written, and he's talking about the first 20 books, really. These are written so that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing, you may have life in his name. Amen. All right, and then before I turn it back over to Pam here, the youth have done this a couple of times, but for anybody who wants one, we've got What Would Jesus Do bracelets. Those that are, 50 to 70 probably remember them, on the back table. So if you'd like to grab some for you, like to grab some for your friends, just get a hold of them. Our purpose in life is to be more and more like Jesus Christ. And anything we can do to keep him fresh in our minds throughout the course of the day, to help us make the right choices, is a blessing. Amen? Thank you.